Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for your attendance today. I appreciate it. 800-531-3815, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. When you get there, this week's article is called A Time for Everything, Including Change, and some of my thoughts on change, and even a little research. We threw in a little research in there, so check that out when you get a chance. If you subscribe this week, you'll be able to get that article. And another one coming up on Sunday. We're now in our fifth year, and we haven't missed a deadline in over 4 years. And so check that out at jbsba.com. And don't forget, there's a lot of other things you can do there at the website. Dr. Donald Boudreau is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the chairman of the economics department at George Mason University. He's our good friend. He's been a member of our Brain Trust for a long time. Don Boudreau, welcome back to the show.
Nice being here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Don, one of the things that I like about you, besides you're a really cool guy and pretty smart cookie, is you like to talk about free trade.
I do.
And we haven't talked about this, but I suspect that's what's on your mind today.
It's always on my mind.
Well, that's what
my
I like about you.
My license plate reads free trade.
I believe that. He's telling the truth, folks.
It does. It's
But talk to us about some of your current thoughts on free trade.
One of the things that I find disturbing about the recent, the campaigning going on now, particularly on the Democratic side, is the demagoguing over the issue of the trade deficit. Democratic candidates talk about the trade deficit as if it's, unambiguously bad and ominous. And frankly, they don't know what they're talking about. I bet none of them really know what it is. And and if they did know what it was, and if they were honest, they would see that this thing called the trade deficit, its real name is the current account deficit. Mm-hmm. And what it means is, get this, folks, what it means is foreigners are taking the money they earn from selling things to Americans and investing it in America, creating more capital, keeping interest rates lower, which creates jobs, which creates more research and development, which creates more, more modern factories. This helps America, and it's a sign of America's economic health rather than a sign of America's impending doom.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of us, most people don't look at it like that, though, do they?
No, because they hear the word deficit and they think, oh, automatically it's something awful. The government budget deficit is bad. And I disagree with the Bush administration's complacency about the government budget. That's when the government spends more money than it takes in. But the this thing called the trade deficit is a very, it's not complicated, but it's something that I can't think of the right word. It's defined in a certain way that most people don't understand. It's not really a deficit at all.
Mm-hmm. So it's business, isn't it?
I'm not sure why it's defined that way, but the more you look into it, the more you see that. Here's my statement. You show me a country running what's called a trade deficit. Its real name is a current account deficit. You show me a country that's running a trade deficit, I'll show you a country with good economic prospects, promising economic prospects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can imagine scenarios in which that isn't true, but they're not practical. They're not practical. I was pleased that the Bush administration got rid of its ill-advised steel tariffs that it imposed.
That was a black letter day when he put them on, and it was a red letter day when they came off. That was an absolutely ham-fisted thing for him to do when he did it.
It was, I think my suspicion is that he realized that right away, and he couldn't reverse himself immediately. But I believe, given that he put them on, I believe he got out of it in as good a fashion as he possibly could. roundly criticized by everyone, every economist, regardless of party affiliation. You know something is up when the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, and the New York Times all agree.
Right.
And they all agree the steel tariffs were ill-advised.
Well, and because, for one thing, folks, as you may remember, it helped a few thousand workers who are in the steel mill business, but it harmed about 1.2 or 1.5 million workers who are in the steel-consuming industry.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So that was not a good balancing of the equities there at all. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. It's 20 till. We're going to be right back with our good friend Don Boudreau, and we've got some more free trade talk right after these messages. Stay with us. Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate at 17 Till. Don Boudreau is our guest. Don is the chairman of the Economics Department at George Mason University. Don, tell us a little bit about George Mason University.
George Mason University is in Northern Virginia, just nearby Washington, D.C. We have the finest economics department, certainly one of the finest economics departments in the world. We have two Nobel Prize winners. We have Walter Williams, who's one of the most noted and able economic communicators in the world. We have a PhD program. Students come from all over the world to study at our department because they know that we have tremendously rigorous scholarship, and we're not afraid to recognize that the free market and property rights are essential to human prosperity and human happiness. And we don't shy away from advocating that position. We don't pretend that that position is still up for grabs.
Mm-hmm.
History has taught us that economic prosperity requires economic freedom.
Right. Absolutely. One of the things that people are having conflicts with right now, I think, Don, is this globalization issue and the, you know, I know people. The funny thing is, Don, is I know people who are still mad about NAFTA, the jobs that went to Mexico, and they're actually saying we need to repeal NAFTA, when they don't realize that repealing NAFTA wouldn't help anything because the jobs that went to Mexico are not even in Mexico anymore.
Well, and that's true, and also what they. These people don't look at, I'm thinking of Dick Gephardt as their leader, but there are a lot of them. They don't look at is, yeah, there were a lot of jobs that are now done in Mexico that were once done in the United States, but there are also now jobs that are done in the United States that were not done at all before, and that in general are more highly paying than the jobs that moved to Mexico. It is simply a myth to believe that NAFTA reduced the absolute number of jobs in the American economy. The facts are quite the contrary.
Mm-hmm.
And that we substituted lower-paying jobs for higher-paying jobs. That is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, it's true, of course. You know, you can always point to, an individual. You can find, an individual who is made worse off by trade. But that's true of anything you do in an economy.
Isn't part of the problem we've got right now with people feeling comfortable with free trade, isn't part of the problem is that we're actually in probably a generational situation where we're transitioning from a time when there wasn't as much globalization to the time when it's becoming more, a lot more prevalent, and the shakeout of the way labor is being deployed is just now being felt. For example, in America, we're going through this period where and it's actually, it's probably going to be a generation, and I don't know how much of that generation, that 20 years is behind us and how much is in front of us, but aren't we going through a period that's really ugly for some people, And even though it's going to be, it's not something we can stop. It's not something we should stop. It still doesn't make it hurt, and it doesn't make it any less painful for some people.
I think that's largely true, Jim. Although one thing people should keep in mind, people have a tendency to look back on the past with rose-colored glasses. I grew up in the 1970s, and I actually hear people now talk about the 1970s as being kind of a golden age. And I was there.
Yeah, it wasn't golden.
It wasn't golden. This is much better.
Yeah.
And there's always economic change going on. The only way you can stop economic change is to grind an economy into the dirt. And then you make everyone desperately poor. If we're going to maintain economic prosperity, we have to leave the door open to economic change. There is no alternative. And that economic change, there are, as I mentioned a moment ago, a few people who are hurt by it. Most of it's just inconvenience. Some people are really hurt by it. We can't deny that fact. But the great majority of the people, and this is true as you expand the time frame, the great majority of people benefit enormously. There's no question about it.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, it's just going to take a little time to work through this. But one of the things that I'd like to point out to people that I think, and it's helped me to get my hands around globalization and free trade around the globe, Don, and that is understanding that globalization is not some political ploy. This isn't something that we're having because politicians have some sinister plot. Globalization is the extension of our own intellect, of the growth of our own intellect through the way we have developed technology, the way we've developed the ability to communicate, the way we've developed the ability to transport goods and services very quickly and very efficiently. That doesn't have anything to do with politics, does it?
No, it doesn't. And that's a very, very good and important point. To make it even more pointed, globalization is freedom. Globalization is nothing other than the political class standing out of the way to let individuals choose how to spend their money. That's all it is. It doesn't force people to buy a Japanese car. It simply says, if you want to buy one, you may.
Yep.
You can also buy the one from Detroit. Globalization is freedom. And I can't think of a more noble principle. It's certainly one upon which this country was founded.
Well, and I want to quote somebody that you introduced me to a while back, Don, Frederick Bastiat, who said, when goods cross borders, armies don't.
That's right.
And I say that at least once a week. I say that on this show. I think it's an important thing to remember. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. It's 10 till. We'll be right back with our good friend, Dr. Don Boudreaux. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Don Boudreaux is our guest. He's chairman of the economics department at George Mason University. Don, you want to give us a website in case somebody would like to check out your
sure.
department and maybe take get their children to apply there?
Oh, yeah. www.gmu, George Mason University, gmu.edu/econ. And that'll take you to our website, and you can go to, and that'll get you to Walter Williams' website, which is it's an outstanding website with all his columns,
mm-hmm.
and I think some of his transcripts from his Rush Limbaugh appearances.
I was just going to say, folks, Walter Williams is a very important person in academia and in intellectual thought in America and in the world. And the only guy who could take his place is the guy who's on our show right now, who's a member of our Brain Trust. And that's Don Boudreaux. And Don, I want to congratulate you again, even though it's been a year or so. I want to congratulate you again on that. And folks, and now I want to remind you of something that I want us all to say together. No chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. Only the best for my audience.
And I wonder if I could tell a quick story about globalization,
go ahead.
Jim.
Go ahead.
If someone invented a machine that would turn, corn and wood into automobiles and electronics and advanced medicines that save lives, people would think, this is great. Let's invent that machine. And the fact is, the machine has been invented. It's called free trade. It's called globalization. That's what it does.
Yeah.
And it's just understanding that fact. If people understand that fact, they applaud globalization.
Well, what if somebody came up with a... What if somebody out in middle America invented an invention, a product that was made from the clippings of your grass,
mm-hmm.
that could be baked into a little pellet that you dropped into your fuel tank, and every time you mowed your grass, you could buy one of these machines and it would put gas. You could drop it in your fuel tank and it would propel your car, so you wouldn't have to buy gas.
Yeah, we'd all applaud it.
We'd all applaud it, but look at the people it would put out of work.
That's right.
I mean,
I like to point out that when Dr. Jonas Salk invented the polio vaccine 50 years ago, he put some people out of work.
Yeah.
People who worked in wheelchair factories.
you know, Don, there's another thing, though, that I want to point out, and that is look at what free trade has done to our relationship with Russia. Look at what free trade has done with our relationship with China. Okay, they're not perfect. But they beat the heck out. It beats the heck out of Cold War, doesn't it?
I tell you, the risk of going to war with those places is today a lot lower.
That's right.
Than
it's,
the risk of going to war with North Korea is a lot higher. And you know what? We don't have any trade with North Korea.
That's right. Because they don't trade with anybody.
They don't trade with anybody. And so what? They don't have that much to lose. They have less to lose by threatening war and actually going to war. So it's simply a bad rule of business to bomb your customers.
Well, you know, exactly. And you know, Don, what I've said is, that in China, capitalism is going to do in China what democracy would take much longer to do. Capitalism is going to make China an incredible nation for the 21st century. There's going to be some good and there's going to be some bad with regard to economics with China because of the size. But you know what? There are a lot of customers over there too, aren't there?
There are a lot of customers and even. The suppliers will help us, Jim. And, you know, there's evidence for what you say. In those parts of China that have been freest longest, they are among the most prosperous and peaceful places on Earth. Taiwan and Hong Kong.
And, you know, China is going to do something that Mexico didn't do. Mexico didn't deliver on the promise of customers. They really didn't. They didn't convert their prosperity. And there have been reports out now about how poorly Mexico used the advantage they had with NAFTA. China's not going to be like that, is it?
I don't think so.
Advantage.
The situation's different a lot. You know, it all depends upon the policies that they pursue.
Mm-hmm.
China, although formally a communist country, unlike even in Russia, the communist ideology isn't very deeply, I think, in the Chinese people.
Right.
They have a work ethic. They understand... tit for tat.
Right.
They understand that you don't get anything. You don't get something for nothing.
They're definitely different people, and that's the reason why. If I had to say, you know, which one's more dangerous right now, I'd say Russia's still more dangerous than China.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Don, that's going to have to be the last word because we're coming up on the end of the hour. We never have enough time when you're here. But I thank you so much for being here and for all the support that you have given us over the years.
Jim, it's always a pleasure, and I continue to applaud you.
Thank you, Don. Don Boudreau, ladies and gentlemen, with George Mason University, the chairman of the economics department there and an outstanding member of our Brain Trust. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, who continue to seek excellence, and that's the reason you're my heroes. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.